Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
John Michaels is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk football with him, I always remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes merch is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. So John Michaels hosts mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Dolphins will be in Atlanta next Sunday, taking on the Falcons. Dolphins are 7.5-point underdogs. Hurricanes host Stanford on Saturday. Canes are 30-point favorites over Stanford. But what the hell does that mean? Because the Canes were 14-point favorites over Louisville, and I don't think they ever led in the game, if I can remember correctly. I think Mario was shell-shocked. John, what happened? What happened to the Canes in the Louisville game Friday night? Does it worry you that we've seen this type of movie play out before when it comes to the Hurricanes?
Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it? Because yes, it worries me because we have seen this last year and the year before and 10 years before that. And seemingly for the last 25 years, we've seen it over and over again. I know I've come on this show a lot and I really feel this team's different. And I don't say that just from a fan perspective. I say that from watching football, being a part of football for 20 plus years. You look at the lines of scrimmage, they're supposed to be better. Those guys got their butts whooped on Friday for a big portion of it. And I get it. Carson Beck was terrible. I think Carson will admit that he was terrible in that game and put us in bad situations. But Jeff Brohm had us down 2 touchdowns before I think I had my first Tito's all the way done. I mean, it was that quick they were down. And then you just couldn't run the football. And it kind of blew my mind that the way that everything they have preached and the way that they had played the first 5 games really went out the window on Friday night.
Did they get out coached? Because Louisville, they surprised me physically. Like, they had some dogs over there. And they had some very athletic humans. And the funny thing, they're all from South Florida anyway, like Teddy and Lamar and everybody else that went there. But it seemed as if Louisville was a step ahead of Mario and Heatherman and them boys.
Really over Heatherman for those first 2 drives. I mean, Louisville was boom, boom, right down the field. And then as the game kind of settled in, I thought Corey Heatherman did a good job of trying to figure things out, and he slowed Louisville down. Crowder, you know, if a team has 4 turnovers, and I know the 1 turnover is at the end of the game, so you had 3 turnovers, and Louisville got 0 points off of them. So I thought Corey Heatherman and his group settled in and started playing better. I think they underestimated the athletic ability of some of the Louisville players because Isaac Brown forced 18 missed tackles, which was the most in the country, I think, by 9. I think the next closest running back had 9 missed tackles where he forced 18 against Miami. And I thought offensively, Shannon Dawson, and I'm not sure if it was a concerted effort that they saw something on tape that they could throw down the field, but they kept taking shots down the field until they all of a sudden kept turning the ball over. And then it looked like Carson Beck just got afraid. And then in the fourth quarter, Louisville said, all right, we're not going to sit back in zone any longer. We're just going to attack. Miami, for the first time really all season long, I thought the O-line looked a little bit confused. The running game was bad. So to your question, I'd say, yeah, it felt like they were out-schemed offensively and defensively for most of the game against Louisville.
Yeah, it's what I wanted to ask you, John. Why can't this team run the football anymore, because 63 yards, I think it was 63, is insane. Considering all we've talked about this team is up front. It's Mario Cristobal's best offensive line. And obviously the defensive line has looked outstanding. But even against FSU, John, this team, it wasn't as apparent because they end up winning the game and they had the big lead. They couldn't move the chains on the ground.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with scheme-wise. They ran the ball 18 times. 12 of them were in between the guards. So you're basically just running a gap. Well, guess what? Teams see this on film. What do they start doing? They start double A-gapping. They start pressuring the inside. The best run play you had the whole game was the jet sweep to Malachi Toney. And I go, where has that been? Like, you know how simple that play could be three or four times a game? And it doesn't just have to be Malachi. You've got receivers and even running backs everywhere that could get things done. I look at Jordan Lyle. I want Jordan Lyle on some stretch zone plays where he gets a chance to get to the outside, put a foot in the ground, and get upfield. And I know a lot of my friends and fan base as well, we're texting like, what the heck are we doing? We just keep banging our head into the wall. And Louisville said, we're not going to let you beat us running the ball that way. What you're going to see the rest of the year is the same thing. Let's be real. When you play SMU in a couple of weeks, Rhett Lashley is going to go, fine, we're going to stack the box. We're going to double A-gap blitz a lot, and we're going to make you beat us throwing the ball and see if you can have patience. Louisville kept three guys deep seemingly the entire time. I know the flats were wide open. On two of the interceptions, he had tight ends and backs, did Carson Beck, that if he checks it down to them, they pick up 15 yards, and if they make a guy miss, they might still be running.
Real quick, does number nine feel right to you in the nation? Does number nine, because that's where they are. Does that feel right?
I do a top 10 poll. I've been doing a poll for 12 years. I had them eight. I'd still have them above Ole Miss because Ole Miss' best win is against LSU. LSU is dog water. I think LSU is going to be maybe looking for a buyout for Brian Kelly within the next 16 months. That's their best win. Don't give me who you lost to is your best loss. I want to know who you've beaten on the field. Ole Miss had been. That's the only difference. I'd have Ole Miss 9 and Miami 8.
Yeah, and you brought up Shannon Dawson, speaking about like just the past selections, where Carson wasn't looking to the flat. He wasn't looking low. He wasn't looking check down. He was just, you could tell by his shoulder, he was ready to rip it deep as soon as he caught the ball. Like, is that in the game plan? Because it seemed like after about that second interception, his ass should have started looking for somebody within 10 or 15 yards of that line of scrimmage.
And look, Crowder, the first interception, I got to give the Louisville, I think it was their linebacker. That guy makes an unbelievable play. Toney's got him beat. They pass interfere Malachi Toney. The kid comes flying over from the backside and makes an interception. The second one, Carson has Keelan Marion for a touchdown. He underthrows him by 5 yards. He throws a moon ball and he underthrows him. But I think it was in the game plan. I think they thought maybe something that was on film. Hey, we can beat Louisville down the field. Well, after the second one, if I'm Shannon Dawson, and again, TV doesn't do it justice, so I don't know how much they're sitting and talking to Carson on the sideline. If I'm Shannon Dawson, I walk over and say, look, you give him that shoulder fake to throw down the field, and now look in the flat. Elijah Lofton's over there. Alex Bauman standing over there. Marty Brown or Mark Fletcher standing over there. You got to figure out a way to take the easy stuff. And that's what Carson had been doing the first 5 weeks of the season, taking the deep shots when they were there. And then when guys were deep and they were playing three deep coverage, you were throwing underneath. You got to get back to that, because I'm telling you, that game plan is going to be the same for everybody until Miami proves that they can beat it.
Let me segue over the Dolphins before we run out of time. You watch the Dolphins game. Everyone's talking about it. They play your Falcons coming up on Sunday in Atlanta. Would you give any thought? I was saying earlier, something has to be made just to show the fan base, hey, what you're witnessing there is unacceptable. Well, they're not firing Mike McDaniel. They're not firing Chris Greer. Would you give serious thought to sitting Tua? I'm not saying benching him for the season. I'm saying sitting him Sunday against the Falcons and going with Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
If it's Zach Wilson, hell no. I'd rather me or you play quarterback than see Zach Wilson get anything done. To appease a fan base, you do that at home. You don't do it on the road because, let's be real, there's going to be Dolphin fans here because that's just what happens in Atlanta. We sell our tickets anyway. But I wouldn't bench him at, on the road. Now, the next home game, if he comes out and stinks it up Sunday against a pretty good Falcon defense, yeah, I'd probably bench him. But the fact that they're not firing, the fact that they're not even thinking about firing McDaniel or Chris Greer, I would not buy a Dolphin ticket again until both of those guys are gone. Not just one of them. Don't give me McDaniel as the scapegoat. No, blow this thing up. Stephen Ross, if you want to sell, find a billionaire friend, sell it, and get it to an owner who gives a damn about winning football because that product is disgusting.
We were talking about, you think Tua's shot or you think Tua's just shell-shocked and he's in a bad situation? Or you think he'll never go to another Pro Bowl? I'll put it that way.
Man, I have been the biggest Tua supporter. I always thought the kid had a chance to be really good. And if you looked at the numbers pre this year when he was healthy, he's been really good. I think it's a combination of everything. I think, one, he's sick and tired of getting hit around like a pinata at a 13-year-old's birthday party because the GM refuses to invest in good offensive linemen. I think people have caught on to Mike McDaniel's system. It's predictable. He's not throwing the ball down the field. I saw a stat where he's only thrown like 20 passes within 10 to 19 yards, and six of those have been intercepted. He's been dink and dunk to the most Chad Henne dink and dunkness that you have ever seen. I mean, everything is in the flat and check down and everywhere else. I don't think he's ever going to be good in Miami again. I think Tua, much like maybe a Sam Darnold, much like some of these other quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, he'll be good somewhere else, but I think his time in Miami is done. Unfortunately for them, they invested $250 million in him, and I don't know who the hell is going to take on that contract.
What do we make of the Atlanta Falcons, John? I'm struggling to figure out what this team is because the last time I watched them, they got blown out by the Panthers 30-0. And I guess the Panthers aren't the worst team in the NFL, especially when they're at home, fine. But then you beat the Commanders, you beat the Buffalo Bills, an impressive victory on Monday Night Football. And then yesterday, you know, 49ers are good, but it's Mac Jones on the other sideline, and I was just bored watching Michael Penix and the offense struggle. What are the Falcons?
Mediocre team. They're the same old Falcons that they've always been. Unfortunately, they're costing me sleep because they played on Monday night a week ago, and I don't go to bed till 1 in the morning. Last night, not only am I pissed off from Friday night, now I'm pissed off on Sunday night having to watch them. They're not well coached, and that's the biggest problem. I like Raheem Morris as a person. I got to know Raheem when I did sidelines years ago and he was on the staff, but they're poorly coached. The end of the first half, you cannot have your quarterback throw the ball out of bounds and get an intentional grounding and end up getting a 10-second runoff and not getting points. You're down three on the road and they're poorly managed because they brought in a backup kicker who they don't trust to kick a 53-yard field goal in the NFL when people are making 60-yarders all over the place. They're frustrating, Solana. They've invested four straight years of top eight picks on the offensive side of the ball, yet on the road they average 10 points a game. Zach Robinson, if he wants to go to Oklahoma State where the job's open, I'll help him pack. Get Georgia pack and load. Let's get over there. I'll put a box or three inside the truck. They're mediocre. They're going to go 500 again, and they might be looking for a new coach at the end of the year.
And Bijan's going to go 500 on the Dolphins. Bijan's special. He's a space.
That kid is ridiculous and humble. That's the greatest thing about Bijan. I tell the story. we're not the flagship, so I can be a little tougher on the Falcons and the other competition in town here. When we go out to training camp, like everybody's got a nice setup as the fans walk in. They have us on a back parking lot behind the practice facility where nobody can see us. But when Bijan was a rookie, they have that's where the rookies used to have to go stay in this auxiliary building, and they'd have to walk. It was almost like a gang initiation. They'd have to walk over to the regular side. Every morning, Bijan would come by and talk to us. Now, he wasn't allowed on the air with us because he'd get in trouble. Hey, guys, how you doing, man? Looking forward. Like, he's just that guy. He's as good of a person as he is a player, and I'd argue right now he's a top five player in the NFL. How do you give him 14 carries in a 10-point game a day ago? Coaching malpractice.
Yeah, well, listen, 14 carries against the Dolphins does equal 500 yards rushing. So he's pacing for a bit. I think I could rush for 100 yards against the Dolphins' run defense.
He's going to be like that high school kid. Did you guys see the high school kid that had 550 yards on, like, I think 20 or like 12 carries this week? Kid averaged 26.2 yards a carry. That might be Bijan coming up on Sunday. This will tell you how bad it is. I'm not even going to the game. I refuse to drive down there and watch these two teams. No chance.
I'll tell you how bad it is here because the Dolphins and the Hurricanes were so bad, we couldn't even make fun of Crowder and Billy Napier in Florida and all the hoo-ha going on over there. But we're out of time, so I can't even do it.
You know who we can make fun of, though? Look, Florida did the right thing. You got to pull the plug at some point. We can make fun of Florida State. You're too broke to fire your coach. You're too broke to get rid of Mike Clavel.
I mean, maybe $50 million, though. I mean, you can understand being hesitant to pull the plug there, no?
Hawk, that's like your radio contract. They could never get rid of you. You're going to be 90 years old. You're going to be the face of 2 a.m.
I wish, brother. I wish. We'll see you.
You'll be 90 in what, 5 years?
All right, cute Billy Napier. All right, we'll see you, John.
See you guys.
There you go. John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Woo! It is a rough one for Dolphins fans and Hurricanes fans, man. This is ain't getting better against Bijan Robinson. I don't wanna get too far ahead of ourselves because it's only Monday. This ain't Rico Dowdle and Judkins and whoever else has rushed for over 100 yards. This is Bijan Robinson that they're going to have to defend on Sunday. This is going to be something, man.
All they do is get him in open space, and we can't tackle. This math problem, it's not mathing right now for the Dolphins defense.
Rough.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
50% of the time I stay in hotels, I clog the toilet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.